Portfolio Committee for Security and Justice. I'll be requesting members to introduce themselves as well. We can start with you, Honorable Zandamela.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Sam Zandamela, a member of this committee.
I'm Simon Paella, the member of the committee.
Ke Kgeni Motsama, ke member ya committee ena.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon. My name is Phindile Mola, a member of this committee.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Enoch Mthethwa, a member of this committee.
Igama lami nginguZukiswa Wancitha, ngilelungu lekomiti.
I'm China Dodovu, member of the committee.
I'm Anele Goya, member of the committee.
Thank you, Honourable Members. And maybe from the side of the commission, if we can get your names.
Honourable Chairperson, members, I am Hans Meyer. I'm a magistrate at the Magistrates Commission's Ethics Division. I'm serving the Ethics Committee of the Commission and the Magistrates Commission in advisory capacity. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson, as well as Honourable Members. My name is Advocate Kassim Musa. I am the Chairperson of the Ethics Committee of the Magistrates Commission, a Commissioner of the Magistrates Commission, and I'm also the spokesperson for the Magistrates Commission.
Thank you. So we'd be okay to call you magistrates in the session.
You can call Mr. Mayor a magistrate. I am an advocate. Yeah.
And I think with us we also have support staff to the committee, and I think you probably know them by now. Okay. Honourable Members, as I said earlier, we'll be getting a presentation as well as progress reports on misconduct cases against four magistrates. So thank you. Advocate Musa.
Once again, good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson, the Honourable Members of the Select Committee on Security and Justice, the support staff. Let me perhaps maybe start firstly by welcoming each and every single member as a new member of the Select Committee on Security and Justice. I want to say to you that I am heartened to appear before you this afternoon and to perhaps share with you the progress reports that were presented previously before the 5th Parliament. I notice that except for the support staff that we have here this afternoon, we have a brand new team of people on the Select Committee. And to that extent, Honourable Members, I want to perhaps maybe give you the comfort to perhaps take a few moments, and I'll do it in the format where I will address you for a short while, and then I'll ask Mr. Mayor, who is my support from the Ethics Division, who will come in and explain to you the workings and the objectives of the Magistrates Commission. So in broad strokes, Honourable Members, let me just explain to you the structure of the Magistrates Commission. So the object and the purpose of the Magistrates Commission obviously is to deal with all aspects relating to judicial officers in the lower courts vis-a-vis the magistrates. The chairperson, the Honourable Chairperson of the Magistrates Commission is the Honourable Mr. Justice Aubrey Ledwaba. He's the Deputy Judge President in the Gauteng Division, Pretoria. He has been newly appointed as the chairperson. The erstwhile chairperson was the Honourable J.P. Lekhodi. In the Magistrates Commission, we have representation from all spheres of the profession. So we have members from the organized profession, from the attorneys and advocates who sit on the Magistrates Commission. We have the representative from the Office of the Regional Court Presidents. We have representation from the Office of the Chief Magistrates. We have representation from the law lecturers and we have members of parliament also who sit on the Magistrates Commission. The commission meets four times per year, once each quarter, to deal with various matters that relate to magistrates in the lower courts. Now, the structure of the commission is such that the commission has subcommittees, and each subcommittee has a chairperson that has a team of members who make up that particular committee. So in the Magistrates Commission, we have what we call, firstly, the Appointments Committee. The Appointments Committee deals with the appointments of magistrates. They will advertise posts as and when they become available. They will shortlist the suitable candidates, and they will then go through the interview process. They will then recommend the candidates, and the Magistrates Commission will then either confirm or not confirm the recommendation. In addition thereto, we have the Ethics Committee. Now, at the Magistrates Commission, the Ethics Committee is supported directly by the Ethics Division. So whenever you have complaints in relation to magistrates from all spheres that come, the complaints will be first sent off to the Ethics Division. The Ethics Division then receives the complaint, opens a file, and thereafter starts investigating the allegations that in fact have been put forward. What happens thereafter is that the Ethics Committee, due to the workload that we have, has a meeting almost on a monthly basis. So I am the chairperson of the Ethics Committee, and I am supported by 9 other members from the Magistrates Commission, and we meet on a monthly basis to discuss, deliberate and determine matters and the way forward in relation to matters. So if there are matters that come before the Ethics Committee where there is no substance or basis, we deliberate, apply our mind, and we obviously close those particular files. Where there is evidence before us, prima facie evidence of misconduct, what then happens is that we will then authorize an investigation in terms of Regulation 26, one of the regulations for judicial officers. So what then happens is that a person will be identified, a magistrate will be identified, and that magistrate is appointed to investigate the allegations in order to determine if there are any grounds for a charge of misconduct. Once the investigating officer completes the investigation, that report is then put before the Ethics Committee thereafter, and the Ethics Committee obviously will decide as to whether there is sufficient merit in the investigation report in terms of Regulation 26.1 to warrant a charge of misconduct to be preferred against the magistrate in question. Then what happens, the charge sheet gets prepared, the charge sheet is then sent off and served upon the magistrate. He or she is given an opportunity to respond to the allegations. That will also happen at the time of the investigation, Regulation 26.1 investigation. And thereafter what happens is that particular charge sheet, before it is finally sent off, normally goes before the full commission. The full commission deliberates and determines as to whether there is sufficient merit to endorse, and essentially endorses the decision of the Ethics Committee. So when a charge sheet is subsequently served upon a magistrate and a misconduct inquiry proceeds against a magistrate, that is the decision of the full Magistrates Commission. Now, as regards the element of discipline, members of Parliament that are members of the Magistrates Commission as well as the alternates, they attend the meetings and deliberate in relation to all matters except at the time when we deal with misconduct matters, members of Parliament excuse themselves. The reason and the rationale for that very simply is because of the fact that they may end up being conflicted, because you get these reports coming before you where perhaps remuneration needs to be withheld, a person needs to be removed from office, and therefore when it comes to these matters of misconduct, members of Parliament are not present. Then in addition to the Ethics Committee, we have the Legislative Committee, we have a Grievance Committee. So these are the various subcommittees that comprised within the Magistrates Commission. Each of the subcommittees has a chairperson, and the chairpersons of the various subcommittees constitute and make up the exco of the Magistrates Commission. I have been privileged to be appointed to the Magistrates Commission in 2013, and my tenure came to an end in January 2018. I have been privileged to further serve the Magistrates Commission from 2018 to 2023. I have been in most of this time as a commissioner of the Magistrates Commission, have been appointed as the chairperson of the Ethics Committee. So on a regular basis, I have had the privilege of appearing before the two committees, the Portfolio Committee as well as the Select Committee in the previous Parliament as well, to deal with this particular matters. And I want to invite you, Honourable Members and Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, that I'd like us to have an extremely close synergy. We are here at all material times to serve, and we are not at any point in time above criticism, above being given advice, because at the end of the day, we are here to ensure that we serve effectively without fear, favor, or prejudice to members of the lower judiciary, and we are ultimately answerable to both Houses of Parliament. As as an opening remark as well, Honourable Members, I want to give you the comfort that despite the fact that the Ethics Division and the Ethics Committee is one of those committees in the Magistrates Commission that is extremely active and we are very, very busy, this is one of the committees in the Magistrates Commission that is not very, very popular. People don't particularly like the Ethics Division and Ethics Committee because ultimately it deals with discipline. And when it deals with discipline, the magistrates generally don't like it. But I want to give you the comfort that at all material times, when we conduct our business in the Ethics Committee meetings and we make our submissions to the full commission during the course of the meetings, that we deal with these matters on an extremely objective basis. We do not at any point in time, and I want to give you that comfort, personalize any of the matters. No agenda operates against any of the judicial officers. We merely but only deal with these matters based on the allegations that are presented to us, as well as obviously the objective, tangible evidence that comes before us. In terms of the Magistrates Act and the various regulations that we in fact subscribe ourselves to, I'm going to give Mr. Mayor the opportunity to perhaps just give you a broad and a brief outline in relation to which are the relevant sections of the Magistrates Act that you perhaps, when you do have the time in your schedule, to perhaps maybe just apply your mind and look at, that will give you a clear idea as to what the objects of the Commission are, what the order of business is, and what we ultimately are entitled to do and not entitled to do. So having just said those few words of introduction, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Mayor, and once he's then completed, I will then come back and give you details of the progress report. If that is in order, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. Maybe I can just clarify if the Commission's exco, the Executive Committee to which Advocate Musa just referred to, if EXCO deals with the matter, then it is deemed in terms of Section 6(5) of the Act to be a decision made by the Commission. So for serious and urgent matters, sometimes the Secretary of the Commission would refer these matters to EXCO for purpose of to be dealt with and considered. Chairperson, the objects of the Commission are set out in Section 4 of the Act, and the functions of the Commission and fully set out in Section 7 of the Magistrates Act 90 of 1993. Now, without burdening you too much, it is one of the objects of the Commission to investigate complaints against magistrates and take disciplinary steps in that regard. So maybe I can just read you the object. The first object is to ensure the the appointment, promotion, transfer, or discharge of, or disciplinary steps against judicial officers in the lower courts take place without favor, fear, favor, and prejudice. And that the applicable laws, of course, and administrative decisions in connection with such actions are applied uniformly and correctly, of course. So this is what the Ethics Committee is about, to deal with complaints against all magistrates countrywide. They cross our desk and we deal with them. If it's, of course, we, the Commission cannot deal with an accused who is complaining about the sentence that the court has imposed, or about his being found guilty. That's a judicial function, which the Commission, of course, is not entitled to or empowered to interfere with. So we advise then the complainant that he or she should exhaust the legal remedies available to them. And we do, of course, have a lot of complaints which are frivolous in nature, so which are referred to the respective cluster heads. These are the chief magistrates within each province. The cluster heads to deal with those complaints internally, and also the regional court presidents and the regional courts. So, but the most serious matters, we present them then to the Ethics Committee, and those would be if you would charge a magistrate with misconduct, if there's prima facie evidence, like Mr. Advocate Musa explained to you, then we can even summarily charge a magistrate with misconduct, not even to conduct a preliminary investigation. We draft the charge sheet then on the recommendation of the investigating officer, and it goes through the process, and then we have a disciplinary inquiry. At a disciplinary inquiry, the presiding officer will always be a magistrate, and the person leaving the evidence, also a magistrate, but the Act makes provision for someone else who is fit and proper to conduct such, well, to lead the evidence in that regard. But it's most of all, it's regional magistrates and magistrates who appear as presiding officers at these disciplinary inquiries. With regard to the process, if a magistrate is found guilty and the presiding officer or officers recommend the removal from office, so it's the misconduct is to such a serious nature that it would require a removal from office from a magistrate, then the presiding officer makes a recommendation only for the removal. He or she can impose other sanctions, but if it's about the removal from office, then she only makes a recommendation, he or she, and the commission that comes down before the Ethics Committee. The Ethics Committee considers representations, etc., etc., and it goes to the Commission. And then the Commission has to decide whether or not the particular magistrate must be removed from office. Maybe I must just pause here. If charges are serious or allegations are so serious that it would justify removal from office, if found guilty of misconduct, the Commission may recommend to the Minister to provisionally suspend the magistrate from office and even to withhold remuneration at that stage. So that's the provisional suspension. And the reports which are before you now, Parliament has already endorsed the provisional suspension from office of these four magistrates. So it's now just now for a progress report in the respect of the inquiry itself, the disciplinary inquiry, the investigation into his fitness to hold office, his or her fitness to hold office. Then, so that's a provisional suspension from office. If the presiding officer recommends that a person be removed, that should then be placed before the full commission. having, of course, inquired the particular magistrate's representations in that regard. Thereafter, if the commission is satisfied that the recommendation should be endorsed, the commission makes a recommendation to the minister to suspend the particular magistrate pending parliament's decision to restore or not to restore that magistrate to office. That's in terms of section 13 of the Act. Section 13.3 deals with provisional suspension and suspension. And then the withholding of remuneration, that's also that's a determination by the commission. So the commission determines to withhold, and it should be endorsed then by the minister and by parliament, of course. Once parliament passes a resolution that a magistrate not be restored to his or her office, then it's for the minister to remove that particular magistrate from office. So that is, in short, the process to be followed. So what is required from parliamentary committees is to, in respect of provisional suspensions from office, to endorse or pass a resolution whether or not the minister's decision to provision suspend should be confirmed. With the suspension from office, which of course has then in view of removal from office, the committee is to confirm the suspension from office. And with the or pass a resolution rather not to restore that magistrate from office to the office, because the minister suspends and then Parliament must pass a resolution whether or not to restore that particular magistrate to office. It's quite important that we take such a resolution by Parliament, not to confirm. And then the determination to withhold remuneration is also, that's a confirmation by Parliament is required. I think that's in brief, Chair, the process to be followed.
Thank you. I think before we go into the actual progress reports, essentially, all members, in terms of the presentation, I think the final explanation kind of outlines where we come in as the NCOP, or as Parliament, being one House of Parliament in this instance. Essentially, members, the issues around the provisional suspension and the withholding of remuneration, which would come to us for confirmation. And then there's the issue of suspension, which would come to us for a decision on whether to restore or not. And I know members are familiar because we deal with this issue in our other statutory processes. But I'll ask members, if you have any question for clarity, just so that if something's not clear yet, you could just ask before we actually go into the reports. But maybe you didn't cover it, but the report, but in essence, the commission has to provide us every 3 months with progress reports as well. But if there are any questions of clarity, Honourable Nita, then Honourable Dodovu, then Honourable Masanai.
Thanks, Chair. I just pick up from his last presentation something that talks about suspension and withholding the payment. The question would be, if this person is suspended, why are you withholding the payment? What does the labor law say on that matter? Thanks.
It's me. Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair. My question is straightforward. Are these the only 4 cases at the moment that you are dealing with, or there are still other cases that are before the Magistrate Commission? The second point, when I read your document, it is clear that the first three progress reports, you were making a distinction between the NCOP and the NA. But in your last report, you just say Parliament. And I'm not sure why, because if you say, when did you submit your progress report to the NA, when did you present your report to the NCOP, it helps us. So that when we track, we know that there are two different houses of Parliament, and we do know at what point did you submit a report before us. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to know from the magistrate, is it committee exist with one person? Is that a committee, or is there any difficulties for the people to be here? Because it seems that you are one, okay.
Okay, Advocate Musa, would you respond?
So I'm going to respond to some of the questions that have come, and I'll hand over to Mr. Mayor. I think the last question that came from the Honourable Member, if the committee is only one person. So Honourable Member, how it actually works is that in the Ethics Division currently, we have three magistrates that are in the... We have three magistrates, Mr. Mayor, we have Mr. Lowe, and we have Ms. Desiree Stichlin. Now, Mr. Mayor has, for almost the last, I think, 20-odd years, been responsible for drafting the reports to the offices of the Honourable Minister. He has had the experience of appearing before both Houses of Parliament and to brief Parliament in conjunction with the Chairperson in relation to this particular matter. So the position, very simply, is that in all the time that we have been appearing before both the Houses of Parliament, it is not a necessity to have the whole committee or members of the Ethics Division present. I represent the entire committee of the Ethics Committee as the chairperson, and Mr. Mayor, being the most senior magistrate in the Ethics Division and the most qualified in terms of the presentation and the preparation of his reports to the minister as well to both the committee, is in fact the one that assists me to come here. And lastly, I want to draw your attention most respectfully is that we are very particularly careful of the public purse. We do not want to unnecessarily just get people to come along with us to do a briefing when in fact it's not necessary for them here. So that is essentially the rationale as to why the other members of the committee don't come along, and or members of the Ethics Division come along. I pray that that has in fact answered that. The second question that was raised was in relation to the point as to whether the reference to Parliament deals with the two Houses of Parliament. In respect of that particular question that has been raised by Honourable Member Dodovo, I'm going to perhaps maybe, if so permitted, deal with that particular aspect when I do the briefing of the last matter, which I suspect will be Magistrate M.D. Inga. I'll deal with that particular one when I deal with it. Yes, the question also had come as to whether are these the only four cases that we are dealing with. Honourable Members, these matters had been placed previously before the Fifth Parliament. These reports were in fact going to be tabled. Well, the progress reports were in fact given or presented to the Fifth Parliament, both the Houses, but you remember, Honourable Members, that the period of 3 months has extended itself due to the fact that we've got now the Sixth Parliament. In addition to these four particular matters that we have, I think we have almost, 92 or close to 100 other matters, at least 100 other misconduct matters that the Ethics Division is currently dealing with. And these particular matters are at different phases in the particular process. So currently these four are the ones that we have to give a progress report on, because these are the magistrates that have been suspended, provisionally suspended from office by Parliament, and in terms of Section 13(3)(f), we are obligated in terms of that particular section to come and appear before both the Houses and to give progress reports every 3 months in relation to this. So in addition to these four matters, I think, just off the top of my head, you'll permit me, without being particularly precise in terms of the number, but I think we had a meeting last Friday, and I think according to the statistics, if I may recall correctly, we at least have got about 100 other misconduct matters that we are currently doing.
Sorry, Advocate, on that point, let us agree that you provide us with the information. I would rather that we get accurate information.
I think, Honourable Chairperson, what we'll do for the comfort of the members, we will give you our last spreadsheet relating to statistics. So matters that are currently before the Ethics Division, we will give you statistics in relation to the progress of these various matters. We'll give you the statistics in relation to how many matters that we dealt within a specific period. So we'll say to you, say perhaps for the year 2018, from say January 2018 or to January 2019 or whatever period that we deem fit, we'll give you the full statistics and indicate to you that the number of complaints that had come before the Ethics Division, number of matters that were investigated, the outcomes of those particular matters. And I think I appreciate that, because it let this give you, honourable members, a fair indication of the magnitude and the veracity of the work that the Ethics Division and the committee in fact do. So we undertake to do that. Madam Chair, I'm guided by you in relation to that. Would you prefer that we just forward it to Honourable Mr. Dixon, and then he will disseminate it to the honourable members? We'll do that, right?
Chairperson, if I might just add, these are the four reports which are before you presently are just the four matters which are still pending. The disciplinary inquiries are still pending. And the charges are that serious that the Commission recommended a provisional suspension from office whilst these disciplinary inquiries is still ongoing. But we have dealt with a lot of cases, and Parliament has removed, well, the Minister on the advice of Parliament has removed a lot of magistrates since the establishment of the Commission from the Office of Magistrate. So currently we are dealing with a lot of preliminary investigations depending on the outcome and the recommendation of the investigating officer. The Commission still has to decide whether to charge or not to charge. But if it's so serious that it would require removal from office, then these reports will be tabled by the Minister in Parliament. So these are the four most senior and serious matters which are dealing with currently. We have previously dealt with a lot of matters, but as you go along, and if the disciplinary inquiry has been concluded and there's a recommendation for removal from office and the Minister has removed such a magistrate from office, then of course that matter is closed. So these are the four pending matters at the moment before you. With regard to the labour law, Chairperson, magistrates are public office bearers. They're not employees, so the labour law is not applicable to magistrates. It's like judges. Actually, the functions which the Ethics Committee or the Commission has with respect to disciplinary inquiries and disciplinary steps against magistrates is similar to the JSC dealing with complaints against judges. And then the withholding of remuneration. This matter was tested in the Constitutional Court in the Van Rooyen case in 2003, where after the Act was amended, the Magistrates Act. So the Constitutional Court found it not to be unconstitutional to withhold a magistrate's remuneration whilst even on provisional suspension. But what the commission normally does, of course, if you withhold remuneration, if there's a deliberate delay in finalizing or having to conclude the disciplinary inquiry, if they deliberately delay that by appointing, say for instance, counsels and attorneys and terminate the services and coming back again, whatever the case may be, then of course the commission can determine to withhold remuneration. But of course you will always give the opportunity to the particular magistrate to submit representations in that regard, and those will be duly considered by the Ethics Committee and the Commission before such a determination is made. And then of course the Minister must endorse that, and it goes through to Parliament. So these determination of remuneration, you will note that in one of these reports, Ms. von Skalkwyk, that this particular magistrate, according to the Commission, was delaying and is delaying the process of the disciplinary inquiry. And I may just add that if a magistrate has been found guilty of misconduct, of an offence, or there are criminal charges currently pending against a magistrate, then we can also withhold remuneration depending on the seriousness of the allegations. And we do proceed with a disciplinary inquiry irrespective of the criminal charges still pending. So, because these are two different processes. We're dealing with disciplinary processes irrespective of whether or not they are criminal charges. So some of the magistrates, the DPP or the prosecuting authority would decline to prosecute, but based on the evidence which is then presented before the commission, we can still decide to proceed with a disciplinary inquiry, because the onus is different than the proof.
Thank you for that. Our members, I'm going to propose that we go into the reports. Our engagement with the Magistrates Commission is going to be a continuous process. We expect to see them perhaps every 3 months. Advocate Musa, I'm not sure how you're going to do this, but my suggestion is that you present all 4 reports. Our members, we have given you the report, so I'm sure you are familiar with it, but just thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I'm in full agreement, Honourable Chair, with your proposal that I'll present, or I'll give you a briefing in respect of all 4 reports simultaneously, and subsequent thereto then we will then engage and take questions in relation to this. The Honourable Members, the first matter that I'd like to brief you on is that of the Regional Court President, KwaZulu-Natal, Mr. E.S. Nzimande. Now, just by way of introduction in relation to all 4 of the reports, Section 13.3F of the Magistrates Act 90 of 93 states that in terms of this particular section, the Magistrates Commission must cause a report on the progress made in respect of the inquiries against magistrates who have been provisionally suspended from office to Parliament every 3 months. And I want to draw your attention to Section 13.3E, that in terms of Section 13.3E, the provisional suspension of a magistrate in terms of paragraph A lapses after 60 days from the date of suspension unless the commission within that period commences its inquiry into the allegation in question by causing a written notice containing the allegations concerned to be served on the magistrate. So essentially the Section 13.3E is a section that obviously has the necessary checks and balances in place to ensure that matters are not outstanding ad infinitum, and that obviously magistrates are being prejudiced with something hanging over their heads. In respect of Mr. Nzimande, Honourable Members, Mr. Nzimande is the Regional Court President of the Regional Division KwaZulu-Natal. He was appointed as a magistrate in the lower court judiciary since 1st of July 2000. And from there he progressed and was appointed as the Regional Court President, KwaZulu-Natal, on the 1st of June 2011. Now, just by way of introduction, and perhaps you'll just bear with me, because I'm not certain if all the honorable members would perhaps understand the different tiers within the lower judiciary, but you have a district court magistrate, you have a regional magistrate, you have the chief magistrate that is normally the head of the court, and then in the regional courts, you have the regional court president that is in charge of the entire regional courts. So in terms of where Mr. Nzimande is, he, if I had to compare him on the same category of what happens in the High Court, the position that Mr. Nzimande holds as a regional court president is equivalent to that of a judge president. So he's an extremely senior individual within the lower judiciary. So what had transpired in respect of Mr. Nzimande's matter, the Magistrates Commission received allegations of misconduct against him. And having then received those allegations of misconduct, the Magistrates Committee in the Commission ultimately then ordered or resolved that an investigation in terms of Regulation 26.1 of the Regulations for Judicial Officers be conducted in order to obtain reliable evidence indicating as to whether the allegations against Mr. Nzimande are of such a serious nature so as to make it inappropriate for him to perform his functions as a judicial officer and regional court president. So once the report was completed and presented again to the Ethics Committee as well as the Magistrates Commission, the Commission at its meeting on the 31st of August 2018 last year resolved actually to charge Mr. Nzimande with misconduct. A charge sheet was prepared dated the 31st of August 2018 and that particular charge sheet contained 50 counts of misconduct. That charge sheet containing the 50 counts of misconduct was served personally on Mr. Nzimande on the 4th of September 2018. And just to give you some kind of a background, the charge sheet contained, amongst others, inter alia, the following allegations. So you will remember and recall that in his capacity as head of the office, as the regional court president of the KwaZulu-Natal regional division, during the period 2012 to 2016, he was responsible for the recommendations of acting regional magistrates to the minister for appointment in terms of Section 9(3) of the Magistrates Courts Act. So what would happen is that if an incumbent wanted to act in the regional court, he would then approach the regional court president, and the regional court president will then write to the minister requesting that this particular individual be appointed to act in the regional court. So on various occasions between 2012 and 2016, Mr. Nzimande approached the minister recommending the acting appointment of a number of attorneys in the KwaZulu-Natal division for them to act in the regional courts within his regional division. And the allegations then go further to say that as a result of him in fact making these appointments, he obviously received numerous payments of monies from the attorneys who in fact he had recommended to the minister to be appointed. And the nature of the evidence that the Magistrates Commission has thus far is that we have the bank statements from these particular individuals indicating that these monies were deposited directly into his bank account. And the evidence that we have is that this payment was in lieu and support of the acting appointment that he had made in the regional court. Then, in addition thereto, so what was happening in some instances, the regional court president was receiving a financial benefit for appointing these attorneys into the regional court to act in the regional court. Then, during the period 2012 to 2015, he is alleged to have unlawfully and wrongfully victimized or sexually harassed a female that was also acting as a regional magistrate in the KwaZulu Regional Division by making subtle sexual advances to her. So calling her into his office, asking her to sit on his lap, and indicating to her that, look, you are indebted to me, for the job that I've given you, that he's been, and that she, that she's that he's been responsible for her receiving the position as acting regional magistrate. And then during this time also attempted to coerce her into having a sexual relationship with him as a result of her acting appointment. And consistently in that time discussed his personal circumstances relating to the numerous sexual partners that he's had. And he also then sent her a picture sent her a picture of his genitalia via cellular phone to her. So the nature of these allegations are extremely serious against him. And on the 25th of October, after he had received the charge sheet in September, he then had indicated to the Magistrates Commission that he was going to tender a plea of not guilty on all 50 charges preferred against him. Now, you'll remember, honorable members, that the regional court president is quite a senior individual. So what the Magistrates Commission then did is, in order for it to be able to proceed with the disciplinary or the misconduct inquiry against him, and in terms of the Magistrates Court Act, the Magistrates Act, one has to make sure that the person who's presiding in this particular matters is a magistrate. And the person who's leading the evidence in the ordinary course should also be a magistrate. So what the Magistrates Commission did, due to the profile of Mr. Nzimande, approved on the 22nd of February 2019, that three regional magistrates, not three district court magistrates, but three regional magistrates be appointed to lead the, to preside in, so it's a panel of three magistrates will hear the evidence and will determine the matter based on the evidence, and that two persons will lead the evidence. Now, one of the persons that is appointed is a magistrate, but the second person that the Magistrates Commission wanted to get was a seasoned prosecutor to assist the officer presenting evidence to lead such an evidence. So, and this was as a result of the thought process of the erstwhile chairperson, the Honorable Mr. Justice Lekhodi JP, that in fact a member of the NDPP, a senior advocate from there, to assist the commission to lead the evidence. Now, on that particular point, I want to indicate to you that perhaps one of the reasons that the matter was delayed in order to proceed with the misconduct inquiry was as a result of the obtaining of a senior advocate from the office of the NDPP. I want to give you the comfort that as of last week, the new NDPP, in fact, assisted the Magistrates Commission, has duly appointed one advocate, Sankar, who's going to assist the person leading the evidence to lead the evidence against Mr. Magistrate E.S. Nzimande, and that now what's going to happen currently is that the parties are going to get together, they're going to determine further dates that the matter will proceed on, and the matter will now proceed. So our next briefing, when we do come to you in respect of this particular matter, will be to give you an update in relation to as to where the process, where the misconduct inquiry is. You'll remember also, honorable members, that this is one of those matters that is in the public domain. There's actually a media frenzy in relation to this particular matter. You will find that the print media is inundated with allegations of rhino poaching, of these sex for jobs, cash for jobs. So it's been in the public domain. There's a lot of media interest, and at all material times, the Magistrates Commission obviously is dealing with it sensitively. However, we also are of the view that this matter needs to get underway urgently, as well as obviously we need to get finality so that at least something can be seen to be done in this particular matter. So on the 5th of October 2018, last year, the Minister, on recommendation of the Magistrates Commission, provisionally suspended him from office. The LA confirmed the Minister's decision on the 5th of October 2018, and the National Council of Provinces passed a similar resolution on the 19th of March 2019. So, essentially, the matter of Mr. Nzimande is at the point where the disciplinary inquiry, the misconduct inquiry, is going to start very shortly. and we will then give you a further update on the next occasion when we have the privilege to appear before you. The next matter that I'd like us to traverse in relation to the briefing is the one of Ms. J.F. van Schalkwyk. Ms. Judy van Schalkwyk is a Chief Magistrate, Kempton Park. And I want to perhaps just draw your attention, if I may, at this point in time, that you will recall, having due regard to the nature, to all the reports, that these are not ordinary members in the judiciary. These are very, very senior members. So you've got the regional court president first in KZN. Now we're moving over to the chief magistrate in Kempton Park. And perhaps a question that will come to your mind, honorable members, and permit me during the course of my briefing, I'll address you, is you would have observed that this matter has been on the back burner since 2013. We are now some 6 years down the line, 2019, and the matter has not been finalized. And permit me, if I may, during the course of my presentation, I'll address you and take you through the reason for such a delay as to why this matter has not been finalized. So, on the 11th of May 2013, the magistrate invited the magistrate's commission invited Ms. van Schalkwyk to submit representations relating to the desirability to provisionally suspend her from office. And the magistrate's commission then resolved to recommend to the minister that Magistrate van Schalkwyk be provisionally suspended from office pending an investigation into her fitness to hold office as contemplated in Section 13(3)(a). The Honourable Minister at that stage, on the advice of the Commission, suspended Ms. van Schalkwyk and tabled a report in Parliament in terms of Section 13(3)(b) of the Act. On the 12th of November 2013, the same year, Parliament then confirmed her provisional suspension from office. Now, the Magistrates Commission, having completed the preliminary investigation in relation to the numerous complaints of alleged misconduct, then proceeded to charge her with 18 counts of misconduct. The charge sheet, if I may just be permitted just to give you a background, but I think the, if I may just recall, while Mr. May is perhaps getting out the documentation. The allegations are also serious against Ms. van Schalkwyk. The allegations, if I may stand to be corrected by Mr. Mayor, involve, I think, during the course of the official day, ending up at the casino, am I correct? Gambling in the course of the official day when she's supposed to be at duties at the Kempton Park Magistrates Court offices, the allegations are that she's gambling at the local casino. The allegations go further to say, I think, at a certain stage, that she's even borrowing money from the local attorneys in the area. I think the allegation even goes further to say, yes. And also, the allegations are against some of the judgments that she has handed down, in fact, were not written by her, but were written by the attorneys in the area that she, in fact, in the area that she in fact presides. So the nature and the veracity of the allegations are extremely, extremely serious. Then on the 18th of September, and you will observe, honourable members, that on the side of the Magistrates Commission, we have done every single thing possible to ensure that the matter would commence and come to an end speedily. So on the 18th of September 2013, the Magistrates Commission already had appointed a presiding officer and a person to lead the evidence. Ms. van Schalkwyk was accordingly informed. Then on the 7th of October 2013, the attorneys of Ms. van Schalkwyk wrote to the commission and complained against the appointment of the person leading evidence to lead the evidence of the misconduct hearing. The commission then responded and indicated that obviously the person leading evidence was completely and totally different to the presiding officer, and the commission did not see anything wrong with the appointment of this particular individual. And if the attorney, as well as Ms. van Schalkwyk, felt aggrieved by the appointment of the person leading evidence, and for the better description for the purpose of the members, and that is like the prosecutor, that they should raise it at the hearing of this particular matter. Then once that response went off to Messrs. Kutsi attorneys on behalf of Ms. von Schalpeck, what happened thereafter is then we received numerous requests now. We've received a request from the attorneys for further particulars. And the further particulars, the Magistrates Commission once again assisted them, handed over the further particulars that they in fact wanted from us. Then what had transpired, the matter then proceeded, was set down for the 6th of October 2014. Now you'll remember from September 2013 we're already down 1 year. And that is now as a result of this backward and forwarding in relation to the appointment of the person leading evidence as well as for the request for further particulars. At that particular inquiry on the 6th of October 2014, Ms. von Schalbig and her representatives raised certain points in limine. In respect of all the points in limine that were raised, only one was successful and the others obviously were not successful. At that point in time, by agreement between the parties, the matter was then postponed to the 16th of January 2015. So from October 2014, some 4 months down the line, we're now sitting in 2015. And I must indicate to you, honourable members, that at the time when the matter was postponed from 2014 to 2015, the person leading evidence vigorously opposed such a postponement, but obviously it is in the domain and the discretion of the presiding officer as to whether to grant a postponement or not. Now, the matter in January, on the 16th of January 2015, the matter did not proceed. The postponement was opposed by the person leading evidence, but it was then set down to proceed the following month between the period 23rd to the 25th of February for hearing. I pause to mention, honorable members, that during that period now the hearing did not proceed on those days. The reason for that simply was that the defense of Ms. von Schalbeck requested a postponement of the matter in February 2015 to the 20th of April 2015. Then, before the 20th of April 2015, on the 13th of April 2015, a few days before the hearing, the Magistrates Commission now was informed to say that, look, Ms. von Schalbeck has now secured through the Public Service Association, the PSA, that she will be represented by a senior counsel in this particular matter. He informed Advocate Jay Siliers, who was instructed by Ms. von Schalbeck in this particular matter, indicated that he was not able to proceed on the 20th of April 2015. The application for the further postponement was opposed, but ultimately it was in fact granted in this particular matter. Then what happened is that when Advocate Siliers came on board in respect of this particular matter, now, instead of the disciplinary inquiry proceeding, what transpired is that Ms. von Schalbeck then deemed it fit and appropriate in the circumstances to lodge an application, a motion application in the High Court, to seek a declaratory order challenging the validity of the promulgated regulations and the Code of Conduct for Magistrates. So here we are at the point where the disciplinary inquiry cannot proceed. The Magistrates Commission now is obviously being taken to the High Court in Pretoria in relation to opposing the application for challenging the validity of the promulgations of the regulation. The Magistrates Commission at that point in time then instructed the Office of the State Attorney to oppose the application. On the 14th of August 2015, in addition to that particular declaratory order that was sought, Ms. von Schalbeck then sought an order and obtained an order compelling the Minister and the Secretary of the Magistrates Commission to provide the applicants with any information relating to copies of any recommendations by the Commission to the Minister in terms of Section 16 relating to the promulgation of the regulations for judicial officers. So in relation to that particular aspect, now there was another interlocutory application, for the want of a better word, if I may say to ask for additional information. On the 18th of November 2015, that same year, the law enforcement of the DOJ duly complied and the documents were served upon her. Ultimately, the The matter was then set down, and now we are now in 2015, going to 2016. On the 26th of September 2016, almost now 8 months down the line, the Magistrates Commission is now being notified that the heads in the matter were filed on the 11th of July 2016, and that the matter was set down on the opposed motion court roll in Pretoria on the 30th of January 2017. During the course of that particular argument on the 30th of January 2017, a new issue arose necessitating supplementary submissions to the court. The matter was postponed to the 15th of March 2017 in the High Court. On the 15th of March 2017, the matter was heard and judgment was received. So the judgment was received in March 2017. So, honourable members, what essentially transpired is that the disciplinary inquiry, the misconduct inquiry, could simply not proceed in the least because the Magistrates Commission now was being taken to the High Court and we had to ventilate this particular litigation. On the 1st of August 2017, judgment was delivered in this particular matter and Ms. von Schalkwyk's application was dismissed with costs. Once the application was dismissed with costs, obviously the Magistrates Commission thought, well, that will be the end of the matter and we'll now proceed with the misconduct inquiry. But lo and behold, an application for leave to appeal to either the full bench of the High Court or the Supreme Court of Appeal was made on the 29th of August 2017. And on the 8th of November 2017, the matter was heard, and on the 10th of November, 2 days later, the High Court dismissed the applicant's application with costs. Magistrates Commission thought once again, well, this is the end of the matter, and now we'll be able to get underway with the misconduct inquiry. And lo and behold, they thereafter petitioned the Supreme Court of Appeal in relation of this application for leave to appeal. The application was lodged on the 13th of December 2017, and on the 12th of March 2018, last year, the Supreme Court of Appeal dismissed the application with costs. So the moment that happened, the Commission, you'll remember, on the 12th of March 2018, the SCA dismissed the application. The Magistrates Commission did not sit back and lay supine. 3 days later, on the 15th of March 2018, the Commission immediately instructed the person leading the evidence to set the inquiry down for hearing. And to show how serious we were as the Commission, we even set down the matter to proceed on the 14th of April 2018 on a Saturday. At the time when the matter was supposed to have been set down, Ms. von Schalkwyk's attorney asked for a postponement of the matter now to the 3rd and 6th of July and 9th and 11th of July 2018. On the 5th of June 2018, before these particular dates could proceed, the Magistrates Commission then received notification from the attorney from Ms. von Schalkwyk's attorney to indicate that his mandate had been terminated. So now here we are sitting ready to proceed with the misconduct inquiry, but now we are told that his mandate has been terminated. Then the person leading evidence asked Ms. von Schalkwyk to indicate to him as to the details of the new attorney. Details now, obviously we now at a point where the old attorney had all the necessary information, documents of record. Those documents had to be given to the new attorney on record. So during the period 3rd to the 6th of July, all the evidential documentation was exchanged between the parties and bundles were compiled to proceed at the inquiry. The matter did not proceed on the 9th of July last year, and by agreement between the parties it was postponed to the 27th of September 2018. On the 27th of September 2018, the new attorney was not available to proceed. And thereafter it was agreed that the matter be postponed to the 1st and 3rd of October 2018. At that point in time, on those particular days, the defense once again now raised further points in limine in respect of this disciplinary matter. And fortunately, the misconduct inquiry then proceeded on the 2nd and 3rd of October 2018. From those days, it was postponed to the 10th, to the 12th of December 2018 for further hearing. The witness for the Commission continued to testify during this period. At that point in time, it was then postponed till this year, 21st, to the 25th of January 2019. What had transpired then, on the 19th of January 2019, the person leading evidence advised the Ethics Division that there's a particular challenge now in relation to this matter at this point in time, in that Ms. von Schalkwyk's attorney of record had passed on over that weekend in a motorcycle accident together with his wife. So the matter did not proceed on the 21st of January 2019. Ms. von Schalkwyk then decided, well, look, she's going to then proceed with this matter in person. So the evidence of the first witness was concluded on the 22nd of January 2019, and she thereafter asked that the matter be postponed in order for her to obtain a new attorney and to brief counsel in this particular matter. The matter was then postponed to the 1st and 5th of April 2019, for cross-examination of the first witness and for the hearing of further witnesses. On the 12th of March, she notified the commission that, look, she required a copy of the transcript of the proceedings in order to instruct a new legal team to represent her. So ultimately what transpired is that Ms. von Schalkwyk then decided at the end of the day to proceed with the matter on her own, and the matter then continued. She continued to cross-examine the first witness. So essentially what had transpired is the matter was postponed to the 19th of July 2019, and thereafter was postponed to the 30th of September to run to the 4th of October. So currently as we speak now, the matter is set down for the 30th of September till the 4th of October to complete the further cross-examination, and the dates have been reserved further to proceed in 2020. Now, honourable members, you may perhaps be surprised as to why this matter has dragged on for such a long time, 6 years. Obviously, the Magistrates Commission was quite taken aback at the lengthy delay in this particular matter. And having carefully considered the matter, we then decided as the Ethics Committee, obviously with the blessing of the Magistrates Commission, to come and approach Parliament and to ask for a withholding of Ms. von Schalkwyk's remuneration in this particular matter, because what had transpired is 6 years. The Chief Magistrate is sitting at home, is well healed by being paid for not doing any work, and just litigating backward and forward and using the High Court. And we found that the moment Parliament, and quite correctly so, approved the withholding of the remuneration of Ms. von Schalkwyk, we then got to start the disciplinary and the misconduct inquiry, and is now underway. So I want to give you the comfort to say to you that we as the Ethics Division, the Ethics Committee, and the Magistrates Commission are very particularly careful and cautious about what happens to the public fiscus. You don't want to keep magistrates sitting out on suspension ad infinitum. And therefore we take all the necessary steps that are available and open to us to be able to ensure that matters come to a conclusion. So essentially in terms of Ms. von Schalkwyk, she is provisionally suspended from office. She is not receiving any remuneration. So technically speaking, there's no prejudice to the fiscus, if I may say, in relation to the matter being matter outstanding. Hopefully, we're hoping and praying that the matter will become finalized in January 2020, and when we do come back to you sometime in the future, we will then give you an update of exactly what is transpiring. Yes, my attention has been drawn to the fact that on the last occasion when the matter proceeded on the 15th of July 2019, she then continued with the cross-examination on her own, because she said, well, she terminated the services of her legal representative. So from the time that the matter started right until now, I think she's terminated at least three or four legal representatives through the entire process. Hence, this process has taken such a long period of time. So that is the briefing that I want to give you for the time being in respect of Ms. von Schalkwyk. I then want to move over to the briefing to brief the Honourable Committee in respect of Senior Magistrate L.B. Freeman from Mossel Bay. Now, Ms. Freeman is a senior magistrate and she's the judicial head of the Office of the Mossel Bay District Court. So she's also a senior individual within the lower judiciary. She was appointed a senior magistrate at Mossel Bay on the 1st of May 2017. The Ethics Division received certain complaints in respect of Ms. Freeman, and a preliminary investigation was conducted into a number of allegations against Ms. Freeman complaints. And as a result of the investigation report, the Magistrates Commission found sufficient prima facie evidence to charge her with misconduct. So a charge sheet dated the 17th of November 2017 containing 24 counts of misconduct was personally served on Ms. Freeman on the 23rd of November 2017. Essentially, the allegations against Ms. Freeman as a senior magistrate at Mossel Bay and the head of the office is that relating to an element of dishonesty. And the dishonesty, if I may just be permitted to tell you quickly, related in the first instance to travel claims. Now, we have been inundated for the past few years of members of the lower judiciary making themselves guilty of making false travel claims. So this is one of those locus classicus cases also of where a person say, a magistrate says to you that, look, I had to travel from point A to B, and in that particular claim, I used an Audi A4 vehicle with an engine capacity of so-and-so, so that you will understand and appreciate that they get paid a certain amount in respect of the cents per kilometer. In this instance, the truth and fact is that she claimed to use an Audi A4 when in truth and in fact, she used an Uno motor vehicle. So the tariff is different, and obviously that had severe bearing in terms of the amount of money that she was actually entitled to receive. The other difficulty in the element of dishonesty that we had picked up is that when she applied as a senior magistrate, in that particular form for a senior magistrate, one of the questions that come on that particular form is to indicate as to whether if you have been a director in any company in the last 10 years. She then falsely and unlawfully wrote not applicable. When the investigation was completed and the inquiry was made with the Commissioner of Companies and Intellectual Property, it emerged that in fact she was an active director and founder member of a company called Southern Cape Fish Cooperative Limited. Then the other added difficulty we had in relation to the element of dishonesty is that when she completed the application for appointment as senior magistrate, and you'll remember she was appointed as a senior magistrate, but at the time when she made the application, another question came and said, have you ever been convicted of any offense or crime? And her response in that particular form was no. The truth of the matter is that Ms. Freeman was in fact convicted of theft in the magistrate's court on Potchefstroom on the 6th of May 1993. So you have a judicial officer who has been dishonest in her application for the position of senior magistrate. Perhaps a question that may come, and I perhaps want to just maybe at this point in time preempt the question that may come to us as to how is it that this particular thing was not picked up at the time when she in fact had brought such an application. What had transpired at that point in time is that the Appointments Committee, the Magistrates Commission, did not have the facility or the ability to be able to do a proper vetting. What we have now seen over a period of time is that many of these matters are coming, falling through the cracks. People who are not supposed to be, who are not fit and proper to be appointed, are being appointed, and now moving forward, the Ethics Committee and the Ethics Division has succinctly brought it to the attention of the Commission, and it has now, the Appointments Committee have now embarked on a process that each and every single application that would come would be properly vetted moving forward, so we're not going to have these situations coming to the fore again. I must confess that it obviously leads
us as members of the Ethics Committee and Division, and I'm certain for you and as well as the general populace, it brings the judiciary into disrepute when you find instances of this particular matter. So, with Ms. Freeman's matter, she was served with a notice of misconduct hearing, and it commenced on the 21st of February 2018. At a certain stage in the matter, and without obviously boring you with all the details, she then proceeded to the High Court here in the Western Cape, asking the Magistrates Commission to provide her with certain further details. Ultimately, that matter was dealt with, and the misconduct inquiry proceeded against Ms. Freeman. On the 24th of July 2019, the misconduct inquiry was concluded. The presiding officer delivered his judgment in this particular matter, and accordingly found Ms. Freeman guilty on all 29 counts of misconduct which the Magistrates Commission referred against her. Both the parties then addressed the presiding officer, and currently we are waiting for the 29th of September 2019 for the presiding officer to impose sanction upon Ms. Freeman. I do apologize. The date of the 29th of September is incorrect. Actually, it's the 12th of September. On the 12th of September, the presiding officer is going to impose a sanction upon her. In addition thereto, honorable members, because of the fact that there was an element of fraud and dishonesty in relation to the travel claims and a whole host of things, the Magistrates Commission then reported the matter to the South African Police Services for investigation and has been in contact with the prosecuting authority in this regard. The NCOP, as well as the National Assembly, confirmed her provisional suspension on the 5th of September 2018 and the 25th of October 2018, respectively. So although Ms. Freeman has been suspended, she is still receiving remuneration in this particular matter. But we'll obviously, when we do come back to you on the next occasion, we perhaps will be able to brief you in relation to the outcome of this particular matter. The last matter that I'd like to brief you, honorable members, is also of a senior member of the lower judiciary, Chief Magistrate, Mr. Andy Inga. Essentially, the allegations against Mr. Hingler have been made by a 42-year-old woman from Bochabelo. On the 29th of July 2016, she lodged a complaint with a minister. Now, I'm going to also then indicate to you, and I'll perhaps give you the reasons as to what had transpired, why the matter went to the minister. But this particular complainant wrote to the office of the minister alleging that she was raped by Mr. Hingler in his flat in Bloemfontein after he made false pretenses to her. When the complaint that was received from the minister was forwarded to the Magistrates Commission on the 2nd of November 2016, essentially, the complainant went off and made the complaint to the office of the minister due to the fact that in the Bloemfontein area, she unsuccessfully tried on numerous occasions to open a criminal case against Mr. Andy Inga, the chief magistrate. Essentially, what had transpired, whenever she went off to the police station to open a charge, they obviously refused to open the case, and hence her letter to the minister as a last resort. Then what had transpired is when the office of the minister has forwarded the matter to the Magistrates Commission, before the matter could serve before the Ethics Committee on the 14th of January 2017, Mr. Hingler sent off a letter to the Secretary of the Magistrates Commission, sent off a report to the Secretary of the Magistrates Commission from the Director of Public Prosecutions, indicating that he will not be prosecuted on these particular allegations. Informed that he in fact traveled from Bloemfontein and came to the office of the Secretary of the Magistrates Commission in Pretoria and handed this document personally to him. And in that particular, he also then presented
he presented a report indicating that the DPP Free State had declined to prosecute him on these charges. Secondly, that he produced an affidavit allegedly made by the complainant indicating that she was paid the sum of 100,000 rand by a set of attorneys called Morocco Attorneys in Bloemfontein to falsely implicate him. The complainant subsequently, when the matter was investigated, so on the face of it, the Ethics Committee and the Ethics Division did not obviously accept these documents on the face of it, because having then got the file, dealt with the matter, and appointed an investigator in this particular matter, the complainant was adamant that under no circumstances had she ever deposed to an affidavit wherein she indicated that she was paid an amount of 100,000 rand. She at all material times persisted with the allegation of rape against Mr. Hinga. So, once the preliminary investigation was completed, Mr. Hinga was then charged with two counts of misconduct. Now, he was not charged, obviously, with rape. The misconduct that he was charged with was that, in terms of Regulation 25C of the regulations, in that he, on two different occasions, during 2010 and 2011, unlawfully and wrongfully compelled the complainant, without her consent, to commit an act of sexual intercourse with her, which act wrongfully infringed her interest in her bodily integrity and constitutional right to have her inherent dignity respected. On the 24th of November 2017, the charge sheet was electronically served upon him. Once he received the charge sheet, on the 4th of December 2017, through his attorney, went off to the High Court in Pretoria, filed a notice of motion for an order, amongst others, to stay the minister's decision to provisionally suspend him from office, pending review proceedings which he intended to institute, and for an order interdicting the magistrate's commission and restraining the commission from proceeding with a disciplinary inquiry on the charges against him in respect of the charge sheet of 24 November 2017. The urgent application, which he in fact lodged in the High Court Pretoria, was struck from the roll with costs. On the 29th of November 2017, the minister, on the advice of the commission, provisionally suspended Mr. Hinga from office, and that decision was confirmed by Parliament. And while I'm on that particular point, I want to indicate that it was both Houses of Parliament. The NCOP confirmed the minister's decision on the 13th of June 2018 and the NA on the 25th October 2018. He thereafter proceeded, once the urgent application was struck from the roll, then Mr. Hinga instituted review proceedings in the Gauteng Division of the High Court on the 23rd of January 2018, applying for an order to review and set aside the minister's decision to provisionally suspend him from office. And also to relating to the commission's decision to institute a disciplinary misconduct inquiry against him. This application is opposed and currently pending before the High Court, because from the time that this application was instituted before the High Court, Mr. Hinga has done nothing further to prosecute this particular matter. So what we essentially did, on the basis that this matter is still standing outstanding, not being prosecuted by Mr. Hinga, the Magistrates Commission then deemed it fit and appropriate in the circumstances to proceed with the misconduct inquiry, because there's no order of the High Court barring the Magistrates Commission to proceed with the misconduct inquiry. So, on the 21st of May 2018, the regional magistrate was appointed to preside in the matter, and two regional magistrates to lead the evidence against him. The matter, during the course of the misconduct inquiry, in a nutshell, Mr. Hinga had raised lots of points that delayed the matter unnecessarily, but ultimately, on the 14th of January 2019, notwithstanding all the delays, the technical issues that were raised, the disciplinary inquiry proceeded on the 14th of January 2019. The matter then proceeded. On the 17th of January 2019, the matter was postponed on the request of Mr. Hingla's legal team for further consultation with possible witnesses and to prepare cross-examination of the fourth witness. The matter continued on the 18th of February 2019, and they also testified the matter was postponed 27, 29, and 30th of May for further hearing. The matter proceeded on those days. Further evidence, the matter was then to proceed on the 15th to the 19th of July. So the matter has proceeded, the evidence is being led, and currently the inquiry is postponed to the 30th of September to the 4th of October 2019. So Mr. Hingla is provisionally suspended from office, but he is also receiving his remuneration. So in respect of this particular matter, it is underway, and hopefully on the next occasion when we do meet, we will then give you an update as to what has transpired in this particular matter. So essentially, Madam Chair and honourable members, that is the briefing in respect of these four particular matters.
Thank you. Thank you, Advocate Musa, for that very in-depth briefing. Honourable members, let me hand over to yourselves if you have any follow-up questions. If you can give me an indication. I think almost all members want to speak. Can I maybe then request Honourable Zandanella if we can start with you, go down the line and then at the back. Thanks.
No, thank you, Chair. Well, I don't know. I'm not a law expert, but I just want to get an understanding or clarity from the Commission that if there's a disciplinary procedure that needs to happen with regard to one of the magistrates, you normally don't follow the normal labor relations act or something, because it looks like all your cases now they are like they are in court, you know. It's like it's a matter. It's like criminal issues that are being dealt with in court, postponement and all those kind of. And another thing is what I'm. I just need to check from the Commission. I think I don't know if you. Well, I understand those issues are most of them. They are in court, of which I'll get an explanation. Why, and then, but I see them, they are dragging too long. Some of them are more than 5 years, and I understand the explanation, especially the presentation when we presented to us. But I think the issue of why are issues not being dealt with, like labor relations or in line with the Labor Relations Act, I think it will give me an understanding and of my question, or they will give me an answer. And or an understanding. Thank you.
Hello, Matsumai.
Yes, here I see the very serious problem where the criminals seems to be having power against the justice system. For this four magistrate being paid and taking the case, that the case cannot be finalized. There's no any option or any way that we can handle this case and speed up the process and finish this case, because these people, they're enjoying life. And this other side, you can even see the number four, L.B. Friedman, senior magistrate, the way he have done, even went to a certain place and tried to change the whole case, especially on the case of rape. How do you see this case? Okay. There's not any way that you can speed up the case. I thank you.
Anu Mola.
Thank you, Chairperson. I didn't hear you about these four suspended. How many that are paid salaries while they are on suspension? Can you please?
You protected the honorable.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to know that what if they win their cases, the one that are not paid their salaries? Are you going to pay their salaries from day one, they were suspended or what? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. A magistrate allowed to take their case in case they lose it to labor court. And secondly, if a magistrate has been paid, I'm looking for the other one that has now spent more than 6 years, the government paying. If this magistrate finally loses the case, is there any way that the state can recover this money that he was paying him? Or is any policy that say, look, if you keep on delaying this case, should you lose it in one way or other, you will pay back the state. And what happened with also the other benefit of the magistrate? If you lose a case, does those benefit also free at the same time, or what happened?
Anita, did you have a question?
Chair, no, I don't have a question, Chair, unfortunately, because these cases are quite straightforward in my view, Chair. But what is scary is the fact that these cases are committed by the people that we trust most. If in the judicial system, you find these kind of things, how are you going to trust them? I was listening attentively to the case of Ubaba Nzimande. Yes. It really, really makes one wonder, where is the country going if we are not going to trust such people? I just don't have a question, Chair.
Honourable Gido.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Firstly, let me commend and appreciate the presentation. I think, as you said, it was quite comprehensive, and for me, very useful, because it is for the first time I interact with the Magistrate Commission and really coming to know exactly what is it that the Commission is doing and how it interfaces with us in Parliament. I think this was very, very useful. But at the same time, I want to follow what Honourable Nita is saying. This is very shocking indeed, that judicial officers are charged with misconduct for the alleged criminal actions in this particular manner. And I just hope and pray that we do something, because these are the people who must uphold justice, who must prosecute crime and, preside over cases. And if you say to us, money exchanged hands and this case was resolved this way, I'm just trying to think how many people had to be in prison because of this kind of behavior, or how many people were not found guilty on the basis of this particular behavior. I'm just thinking aloud. And just linked to that, 100 cases is a lot that are before you, and I just hope that you continue to push and resolve them in the way that will inspire confidence and will restore our criminal justice system. That is very much important. Having said that, Chair, can I draw you to page 3 of Mr. Nzimande's progress report? It says, let me just go to the front straight. it says that the NCOP, that is the last page, and paragraph 2.8 at the end, it says the NCOP has not yet passed a resolution whether or not to approve the suspension of Mr. Nzimande. I propose that we need to look at that, or maybe we get an advice, so that if the NCOP has got to pass a resolution, this matter must go to the House for the resolution.
Are we looking at the same report?
Yes.
Are you saying it's paragraph 2.8?
Yes.
On Nzimande?
Of Nzimande, paragraph 2.8.
The last line says the NCOP has passed a similar resolution on the 19th of March, 2019.
I'm looking at this one that I'm having.
Is that the March report or is it the August report?
I'm not sure. We've got two reports with us.
Yes, I think the March report was from the previous...
I was looking at this and I was picking up this matter to say we need to really fast-track that particular process as such. Other than that, Chair, I think I'm okay, and as I indicated, I think these matters must be dealt with, and that we must commend the Magistrate Commission for the work it is doing, and as I said, they must keep on doing the good job, because that is the only way to get our country right. Thanks.
Honourable Ngoye.
No, thanks, Chair. Let me join the queue in thanking the Magistrate Commission for sharing this depressing news with us. I must indicate that it's quite depressing to read these things about people who are charged with the responsibility to enforce compliance with the law. I just wanted to check if there are monitoring mechanisms in place for magistrates, whether it's a complaint desk or something, so that if things happen to the members of the public, they are not only left to have to go and open cases with the police, because obviously there would be a relationship between magistrates and the police as people who are working together on a daily basis. We might find ourselves in this situation. But I think if there is, not necessarily a structure like IPED, but if there can be a complaint desk where these things come straight to the commission even before they reach the minister, because some people would go straight and report these things to the office of the minister because they don't find any other option other than going to the police. If the police refuse, then they would want to look further. So I think that's one thing. And perhaps also just to check if there are wellness programs in place, employee wellness programs in place. Because I'm looking at the situation of Ms. Van Skalvik, who was addicted to gambling. That's a psychological problem, which should have been picked up earlier and dealt with. Because going out to borrow monies from the people, it's because you took your salary and you wasted it in the gambling, and you've got other things that you need to do. So I think that's one other thing that I just wanted to check, if there are wellness programs in place there. Then there's another question here. There's this issue of LRA not being applicable to magistrates. But I find it strange that then you would have mention of PSA, which is a union, representing Ms. Van Skalvik and
taking up the matter and referring it to the lawyers, of which I think unions are only guided by the Labor Relations Act, and if it's not applicable to magistrates. So I just wanted to check if magistrates are allowed to be members of unions, if the LRA is not applicable, if it's not applicable to them, but also measures to curb these delaying tactics, because you're dealing with people who know the law. They know all the tricks. They can delay the inevitable with the hope that the process will be exhausted in the along the way. Because some of the issues here, you can see that there's no relevance. Why would a person appoint an attorney, even before that attorney starts working, the attorney is terminated, appoints another attorney to come and postpone the case? Coming to the other case again, the attorney is this thing. So those are just delaying tactics. So maybe the rules of engagement need to be set out to say, if within this period the case is postponed as a result of the accused, then we will proceed with or without, if that is set out in the rules, so that they know, should I delay the case for more than 60 days, then the consequences are it will continue with or without me. I think that should be also done. The issue of the vetting, I think you covered it. But also, maybe you need to find time to quantify time wasted by these delays and cost it. Because all these delays come at a cost to the Department of Justice. We are complaining that we don't have enough magistrates. And you may find out that the reason why we don't have enough magistrates is because our magistrates are suspended for misconduct. They are not there in their workstations. And for instance, in small places where you find out that you've got only one magistrate, and when that magistrate is. So I think that is what happened. But the last thing, Chair, is action that is taken over and above dismissal. You find the magistrate guilty of a misconduct, which is a criminal act. Some of the actions here are criminal. Do you leave it at that level of guilty, then you are expelled? Or do you take it further, criminally? Because if these people are not pursued criminally, we will continue to have these things. So we need to have things that impede this particular behavior. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. And I just want to also welcome Honorable Hai to our meeting, although he joined us late. Advocate Musa, I think maybe just from my side, and I think members have covered some of the questions, but just in relation to the issue of remuneration or not, because I think, as you also indicated, there are issues around the fiscus, but also in terms of the experience with the Funskalk matter, things started moving quicker once remuneration was removed. But at what I understand that all cases are unique, but at what point would the commission or the ethics committee actually start considering issues around remuneration? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Let me perhaps maybe begin firstly by saying to you that I have heard many of the questions that have come from the Honourable Members and have taken cognizance of the comments that have been made. And I want to say to you that as the Chairperson of the Ethics Committee, a member of the Magistrates Commission, I'm confident that Mr. Mayor will agree with the comments that follow hereafter, is that from what I understand is that we have a committee that is robust, and it gives me great amount of comfort to appear before members of the select committee on security and justice that are like-minded as us in the Magistrates Commission. I thank you so much for that. A question had come up to ask us that the observation was made that cases are being committed that people who we trust. Mm-hmm. Now you will remember, honourable members, that in civil society, generally the last bastion that you will get is the judicial system. The ordinary man in the street would go all over, but ultimately when he lands at the doors of the court, he's of the view that he's going to get justice, and that the people who are dispensing that justice do so without fear, favor, and prejudice, and apply themselves to an element of not bona fides, but of the utmost good faith, uberrima fides. And perhaps you may have also, over a period of time, and that was generally the feeling within the lower members of the lower judiciary, that the Magistrates Commission is essentially a body that is toothless. We were told on numerous occasions that yes, the Magistrates Commission can only but bark, but it doesn't bite. And I want to say to you and give you the comfort, honourable members, that in the time that I have sat as the ethics chairperson and under my watch, we have pursued matters extremely vigorously, because ethical conduct in the judiciary is very, very close to my heart. And I believe that if the judiciary is brought into disrepute, then ultimately the very foundation and basis of civil society stands to be shaken. So to that extent, my humble plea to you, honourable members, would be that we are not going to come before you and ask you for your assistance and support in matters that we believe that do not justify the outcome that we so desire. And my plea to you, honourable members, would be to apply your minds carefully to assist the Magistrates Commission to have this zero tolerance approach to this type of conduct, and to support us by making robust decisions. And I can see from where I sit, the honourable members here are serious, and just as serious as we are. And to that extent, I ask you to apply yourself robustly and to assist us to uphold the judiciary and the integrity of the judiciary. We need to weed out those bad elements that are giving the judiciary a very, very poor and a bad name. And in time, as we'll progress, you will find that you'll become more and more shocked at some of the matters that will in fact come before you. So, to answer the question that what do we do in relation to matters where a person is perhaps found guilty, do we ask them to peacefully depart from the employ of the magistrate, or do we proceed further? I want to give you the assurance, honourable members, that where there's elements of fraud being committed by judicial officers, and if they are found guilty, we do not leave it there. We ensure, one, that obviously, and if I may recall, there were, I think, one or two matters, Mr. Mayor may correct me, but we in fact go against the pension. We in fact go against the pension payout in relation to those particular matters for any kind of fiscal prejudice that may be suffered. In addition thereto, we immediately, if it is fraud and related matters, we refer the matter to the South African Police Services for them to investigate, and the person must be criminally charged. So to that extent, we essentially, in fact, do that. In respect of speeding up the process, honourable members, there's nothing in the regulations currently or in the Act that gives the Magistrates Commission the power to ensure that these matters are speeded up. And the reason I say that, honourable members, is that the tribunal that is in fact constituted is an independent tribunal. And if the Magistrates Commission is seen to interfere in that particular process, then essentially, it would mean that the Commission is interfering in a process that is to be independent, and that we are traversing and interfering in the judicial independence of the presiding officer. But having said that, I want to give you the comfort, honorable members, that the members of the Portfolio Committee also raised a very similar point. And to that extent, we have discussed it, both myself and Mr. Mayor, and I think we're going to send out a circular to the persons that are appointed as presiding officers and persons leading evidence to indicate to them that the clarion call from both the houses in Parliament is that an unnecessary delay should not be tolerated, and that these matters need to be brought to finality as a matter to be brought to finality speedily, because the implications and the ramifications of this are very far-reaching. You have two or three officers who are supposed to be at a seat of court dealing with their court role. They are out of court, they are presiding in these particular matters. You have the cost of setting up these misconduct inquiries. So the prejudice ultimately is quite severe. And I can say to you that we obviously are attempting to put together mechanisms to give effect to the sentiments that have been raised by both houses of Parliament.
Advocate Musa, my humblest apologies for interrupting, and I'm sure you see a lot of movement here. But unfortunately, we had only booked the venue till 4:30, so it seems that there's another committee that's actually coming in to take over the venue. And I don't want you to take this as an indication that your work is not important to us. It is very important to us. But I'm going to then request that, you know, some of the outstanding questions, the comments were fine, but the outstanding questions, if you could respond to us in writing, so that we will take it forward as a commission, as a committee. But be that as it may, I think we'd like to thank you very much, you and Mr. Mayor, Advocate Mayor, no, it's Magistrate Mayor. Yeah, for meeting with us today, as well as for your in-depth presentation on the four cases, but also in terms of explaining your roles and responsibilities. Like I said, your work is important to us, and I think members have already indicated sentiments around the fact that the judiciary should not be brought into disrepute, and we need magistrates or officials that work within the judiciary to be of an exemplary nature. So with those few words, Advocate Musa, we will await your written responses, and and we hope that we'll be seeing you soon. Like I said earlier, that we would expect you in 3 months' time to still provide us with progress on these four cases as well. With that, thank you very much.
Just before I give Mr. Mayor, I want to just say to you, thank you very, very much for having us here this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Honourable members, also thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure to appear before you, and I want to give you the comfort that we are here to support, we are here to ensure that we uphold the image of the judiciary, and we want to give you the assurance that we work in close conjunction with this particular committee and will be guided by whatever you desire and require of us. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I've been doing this now for past 20 years, so I'm quite acquainted with the processes, etc. So if there's either any queries or inquiries or whatever, you're at liberty to approach the Commission. That we will gladly assist. And thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. And finally, thank you, Honourable Members. I know we've been having a very rough 2-3 weeks. Thanks for your attendance. And meeting is adjourned.